VanWee Financial is a registered investment advisor. Information presented is for educational purposes only and does not intend to make an offer or solicitation for the sale or purchase of any specific securities, investments, or investment strategies. Investments involve risk and, unless otherwise stated, are not guaranteed. Be sure to first consult with a qualified financial advisor and or tax professional before implementing any strategy discussed herein. It's Saturday morning. It's 10 o'clock. This is the VanWee Financial Hour. I'm Steve VanWee.
And I'm Adam VanWee.
And Adam is remoting in today from a soccer tournament over in Tallahassee, where you don't want to spend too much time because politics might rub off on you.
Actually, a beautiful day over here.
Yeah, it's shaping up here, finally, too.
And we're nowhere near the Capitol, so that's good.
Oh, good. What's the game schedule?
I'm watching my son play right now.
Oh, well, you're outside, or is he being televised?
I'm in the car.
Okay. Well, the connection's good. If it changes, I'll let you know during the show. Yeah. Anyway, here we are again, well into our fifth year now. And as always, live and in person, full color, if you have a color radio. Anyway, welcome back to all the regulars. We're so glad you're here, as always, because that's the reason we show up time after time. And for anybody who happens to be new, either you heard about it or you just were driving by and radio happened to be on, try to stick around for a while. Our goal here is to educate and to bring you up some up-to-date on some good information, and mostly what we want to do is to answer your questions. So whenever you just pick up the phone and dial 904-222-8255, we'll immediately put you to the front of the line. You see how fast I took Adam's call, right? Well, that happens to everybody, and we'll discuss what it is that you want to discuss. No questions are too dumb. It is the role of the listening audience to make the host look good. So the easier the question, the better I look. How's that? Yeah.
Right, we'll take the hard ones, too.
Yeah, we do. Well, and you know, those of you who've listened a long time, you know, if we don't know the answer to something, we're the first to admit it, and we'll have it for you next Saturday at the same time. And
absolutely.
That is our goal, and we have yet to fail. Gosh, where do you start on a week like this? Once you get the smile off your face?
Why don't we start with the good news?
Well, you couldn't start with anything else.
Bad news is we had to live through quarter four of 2018 to get here,
yeah.
But I'm thinking at this point it was probably worth it.
No, I'd trade it in a heartbeat. Do it again in a heartbeat.
And the funny thing is this week came in spite of all the negative news that came out this week. I mean, we saw some pretty negative stuff happening. We saw a retail sales report that plunged the most since 2009. Now, I'll get to this more in a little bit, but I think it was a bunch of baloney.
It's fake news.
Yeah, I totally agree. I honestly don't even believe that the BLS audited their report before they put it out. What were they thinking?
Well, I'll tell you what I think they were thinking. I think they're all angry they had to go back to work because they were getting a paid vacation. They don't like it, yeah. So they're mad at Trump for putting them back to work, so they're going to stick it to him with a bad number. That's what I think.
You might be right. Who knows? We also saw Amazon pull their HQ2 out of New York. That would have brought 25,000 jobs at an average pay of $150,000 a year to the Long Island City area. And some of the more liberal politicians decided that was a great thing, and they were cheering for it.
Well, yeah. In your AOC moment of the week.
Yes.
She was pretty much personally responsible for it.
Yeah, and they didn't name her in their press release, but they might as well have.
You mean because they were showing her picture in the background at the time, or what?
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. So it was even more ironic because the governor of New York was interviewed earlier in the week, and he was complaining that they're facing a several billion-dollar budget shortfall.
$2.3 billion.
Yeah, 2.3. Yeah, exactly. And he blamed it on everything from the Trump tax plan to Florida, people moving to Florida. So we're the problem, apparently.
Mm-hmm.
And don't you think that maybe those 25,000 taxpayers making a really, really nice wage would have possibly helped out their tax-paying tax revenue for the state?
Yeah.
I would think so.
Well, do you want to explain her, and I use this term loosely and in quotation marks, logic?
Yeah, so her logic is that the state had to promise $3 billion in tax breaks. I think it was over 10 years to get
exactly.
The so that's tax breaks. That's not tax. That's not exempting Amazon from paying all taxes. That's just saying we're a high cost state. We're a high tax state. And if we want to attract a project of this magnitude, we're going to have to do something to make it worth Amazon's while. So the trade-off is we give them some tax breaks and they generate all this economic activity in our area and it works out great for everybody.
Yeah.
Well, that all once they said $3 billion in tax breaks, that's all she focused on.
Yeah, the original bill estimate over 10 years was that Amazon would pay $30 billion, and they gave them three in breaks. So instead, they're going to pay $27 billion, and these are for new jobs that do not today exist.
Right. So that is just the direct tax payments by Amazon. If you look at the, say, the New York state taxes on that payroll at 10%, that could generate another $375 million in tax revenue for the state, and that now they're not going to get that. So I fail to see how this is a win for anyone in that area by not giving $3 billion in tax breaks. You just probably cost yourself the entire shortfall that your government was going to face in the coming years.
She irritated de Blasio, and that is not easy for a leftist.
No, definitely not. So,
all right,
interesting situation.
Okay, I have a modest proposal for you before we move on to how good the market was.
Okay.
I want to buy a new laptop, and I'm a couple grand short right now. So is it okay with you that I don't give you $2,000, and then I'll take the savings and go out and buy a laptop? That's what she did.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, if that makes sense to anybody out there, please listen to somebody else.
They got what they deserved. They elected her. She did this. They have to pay the consequences. I hate it for the people of New York, and I think that it's going to eventually benefit people elsewhere in the country because Amazon still needs to put those equivalent people to work somewhere. They're still going to move ahead with their Northern Virginia project and their distribution center in Nashville, and they haven't really decided on what to do with the other portion of this project, which was the New York portion. So I think it'll end up benefiting somebody somewhere in the U.S., and it just won't be the good people of New York.
Yeah, and I have an unofficial, but I have verified it through sources that I believe to be correct. The Democrat voter turnout in her district for the last election was 11.8%.
Hmm. Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah. You don't vote. You got nothing to say, people.
Exactly.
Pretty easy.
So then the outside of the retail report and the Amazon news, there was the... Oh, we're almost up on a break.
That's right. We've got a minute.
Yeah, we also saw...
Carry on. We'll pick it up.
There was mixed news about the China deal, so we don't know if that's gonna happen or not. I think it will still, but the news this week was mixed. And then on Friday, Trump announced that he was going to accept the budget deal, but also declare an emergency to build the wall, which nobody really knew how the market would react to that, but the market actually went up after he announced that, so who knows?
That was the strongest finish I've seen in a long, long time on any market day, and as you said, it was the culmination of a week of news that was at best iffy, and yet it did this, and I think that means that people are a little bit smarter than the media is giving them credit for. And I've got some more to say about that, and you have some more to say about the market right after the break. And some of this, it's going to be almost a question of how good was it? So don't go anywhere. We will be right back after the break. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour. Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And we have a trivia question, as usual, sponsored by Ken Bales at First Coast Alarm. Call Ken at 904-636-7888. Among the countries, or the prosperous countries, health care services, which country was ranked the absolute worst in 2018 by the New York Times. Here's a list of them from which to choose. Britain, Canada, Singapore, Germany, Switzerland, France, Australia, and the USA. Which one of those won the honor as the worst health care services among the developed countries? I don't know that anybody will get this or not. As always, I do have a point here, and I'll discuss it, whether or not anybody gets it right. But it's easy, folks. You only have a few choices. So give us a call. Lines are open. 222-TALK. 222-8255. Okay, well, on the way to what is not yet a continuation of the bull market, because we're not quite at the top yet, some good stuff happened.
Yeah, a lot of good stuff happened this week. I realized I didn't even mention, I said it was a good week. I didn't say how good it was. The Dow was up 3.1%. The NASDAQ was up 2.4% and the S&P up 2.5%. And that takes the totals for the year. The Dow is up 11%, NASDAQ 12.6%, and the S&P 10.7%. Now, we haven't quite recouped our losses from the fourth quarter, but I would not be surprised. I mean, the way the market's going, you just never know. It looks like it's on a real tear, and if things continue as is, I wouldn't be surprised to see that happen sometime in the near future.
I'm not getting your annual numbers on my cheat sheet. I'm going to check them when I get home.
I don't have it that much. Somewhere around that, but from a sector perspective, it was a good week all around. The breadth in this rally has been great.
Yeah.
Small and mid caps have been the best performers, and large cap wasn't far behind. Actually, the best sector has been energy. It increased more than 5% this week, and industrials were up more than 3.5%, materials 3.4%. So those three were kind of the laggards all of last year, and now we're seeing weeks where they're leading the way up, which really is a good sign for the overall market. So I'm very pleased to see that. Industrials are now up more than 17.5% this year, and energy is up over 15%.
Oil is just shooting up, and I'm not sure I quite understand why.
No, I don't either. Maybe people are optimistic that there isn't a global recession coming. I don't know.
Well, China's market was up about 5% this week.
Yeah, China was. I was just getting to that, actually. Okay. Brazil added another 3.2%, up more than 16% this year. International markets were a little bit mixed. India was down over 2%, and they have a negative number this year, 4.5%. We did see some good trading in commodities. The index gained about 2.5%. Oil was up 5.7%. The total gains on the year for oil are 21.2%, which is pretty crazy. But it did plunge pretty hard in December, so it might have been an overreaction and a reversion to the mean we're seeing here.
I didn't know that. I couldn't find a reason for that either.
No, me neither.
There's no real glut anywhere that I can see. On the other hand, we have plenty.
Yeah, exactly. So for it to be this volatile right now is a little bit unusual, except that the world news is just so overwhelmingly negative anytime you turn on any news station. So maybe it just overreacted to that and is going back to where it should be.
I think that's probably the best explanation I've heard yet.
Yeah, I mean, that fall in December didn't make any sense either. So
in the jargon of Wall Street, reversion to the mean.
Exactly. The bond market drifted a little bit lower this week, but I think it was more a function of people piling money into stocks instead of bonds, so I wouldn't read too much into that. Earnings season's quickly coming to an end, and both earnings and sales beat rates are pretty strong. The forward guidance, however, I've talked about this the last few weeks, it's been terrible, and it got more terrible this week, and it really just looks like companies are sandbagging, for lack of a better term. There is no way that they're this pessimistic about this next year. It just doesn't make sense. I don't believe it. We'll see what happens next quarter, but I'm just not buying it. Would you agree with that?
I would absolutely agree with it.
I mean, it is so negative. It's just an anomaly. It's hard to believe how negative it is after the couple of years that we've just had.
I actually have a couple things on that, too, and I'll get to them if we can.
Okay. I mentioned the retail sales report earlier, and the biggest fishy number from this report is that retail sales, online sales, fell 3.9% in December, which is the holiday shopping season, which everybody says was outstanding. I mean, companies have already reported, like Amazon, and said it was their best December ever. So how can you get an online sales report by the biggest retailer in the space that says it was great, and then the numbers say it was down 3.9%?
Who are you going to believe, me or your own lying eyes, right?
Yeah.
We have a call, Adam.
Oh, okay. Let's take it.
Good morning, Larry.
Hey, Steve. Hey, Adam. How you guys doing?
Great. How are you?
Hey, Larry. Doing well. I wanted to take a shot at the trivia.
Well, do.
I'm going to guess. This might seem like an odd guess, but I'm going to guess Switzerland.
Well, I don't think there are any guesses out of that group that are odd. Yours just happens to be wrong.
Ah, rats. Well, what I was hoping was that their shining beacon of socialism that Americans seem to be embracing was just going to be proved to be more and more of a hoax and a lie and all that crap.
Well, in some respects, Switzerland is a lot freer than some of the other countries. I don't know exactly how much. I've never really studied all this stuff. The headline that I read caught my eye, and you'll know why by the end of the show.
All right. Well, thanks, guys.
Hey, anytime. Thanks for the call.
All right.
All right. So we know one thing. It's not Switzerland. That narrows your choices.
Yep. Two to go. The other one that we're keeping an eye on, there were a couple of other jobs reports this week that I wanted to mention. Jobless claims, they're kind of our favorite leading recession indicator. They actually ticked up a little bit this week, and they're running at a level that's slightly higher, which is also coming off the government shutdown. So I'm still skeptical that it's a real number. I think once we get, if I get another couple weeks at this level, then I might be slightly concerned. But at the point they're at now, I'm just kind of shrugging it off to the government shutdown. But
you should mention that the danger zone is 300,000 a week, and
right.
This week was at 239,000. We got a long ways to go before I lose a minute of sleep.
Correct. It's just they've been running so low, and they've ticked up, and the only thing that's really happened is the shutdown. So just something that we're keeping an eye on. And then the JOLTS report came out this week. It showed there are now 7.3 million open jobs, which is another post-recession record and, I believe, all-time record.
Yeah, it was all-time record.
And now quit rates are running higher than they were pre-recession, which is the number that a couple of years ago I said I wanted to see move up because it had not gone high enough, and now it's getting to that level, which is great news.
Yeah, it's a sign of optimism. I can quit my job because I can get another one.
Exactly. That means there's enough good open jobs available that you feel confident enough to go test the waters.
That's another thing that nobody's talking about either. A lot of people my age group are beginning to actually retire for the simple reason that their asset levels have come back to such a nice point that even if they had been afraid on and off for the past few years to actually retire, they're no longer afraid. So they're just going to take it and run. And that of course, leaves more and more jobs open. And if you're young, what better time? I envy the college graduates that are going to be coming out of school in April and May. Boy, are they going to just jump into the world's greatest job market or what?
Oh, no doubt about it. It is such a great time to graduate right now, so good luck to you all.
Absolutely. If you had to make a prediction over the next few weeks, are we going to hit the new high or not?
In the next few weeks, I would prefer we didn't. I'd rather see a pause and the market flatten out for a little while because we are getting a little bit overbought, and I don't like that setup. So if we could just stay flat, that would please me more. Now, what's actually going to happen, I have no idea. It could keep pushing higher, or it might retreat a little bit. I really, it's so unpredictable these days because when news is bad, the market is reacting positively because that means no more rate hikes, and it's one of those classic all. Good news is bad news is good news type scenarios.
That is true. You were talking a little bit ago about the negativity in the news and among the elite media in the country. they possess something that I call verbal dexterity. And you combine that with a narrative that they're hoping to follow, and you get things like my favorite headline today. S&P earnings outlook on pace toward its first decline in 3 years. So earnings are on pace to decline. What does that mean to you? To me, it says, yeah, if you made a dollar this year, you're only going to make 99 cents next year? No. You might make $1.05 next year, and that's an earnings decline. That's that Washington thing again. It's the same thing I said about AOC and about my deal to you. That, you know, she is perfectly qualified to be in Washington, D.C. for the simple reason that everybody in D.C. has to have a thorough understanding that when something goes up less, it's a cut. And normal people can't quite figure that one out yet. The earnings decline, first time in 3 years, is not what this article is about, and that is an absolutely awful headline, and it's part of the narrative. Much more when we get back. Don't go anywhere. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour. Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
Hey, and this trivia question still remains. Among these developed countries, Britain, Canada, Singapore, Germany, Switzerland, France, Australia, and U.S., which one did the New York Times rate the worst healthcare services in the world just last year? And we know it is not Switzerland. Right, one of the big stories this week that kept coming up over and over and over, it's part of the ongoing narrative, was the average refund coming back from IRS is smaller than last year. So what's all this fuss about tax cuts? I'm getting less money back. I am not making this up.
No, I know. I saw the same headline.
Yep.
It isn't on a week's worth of data, which is, and again, the government's been shut down. So I don't even know if it's reliable to begin with.
Well, I want to harken back a few shows. We had a caller ask what I thought was a tremendous question about the W-4. He said, under the new tax law, we don't have personal exemptions anymore. The W-4 counted personal exemptions. Now, what the W-4 does is it tells IRS how much to withhold. They apply a table to it based on your exemptions. So if you don't have exemptions anymore, how do you do it? So I honestly didn't know. So I went back and looked it up and reported the next week that that W-4 form is still around. It's just been modified to a different series of questions or different data points, but they figured out how to do it. But I have a question for everybody. Did you fill out a new W-4 last year or this year? Do you ever remember filling out a W-4, either last year, year before, or all the way back as long as you've been working? I know I did on the first job I ever had, which was in 1972, the first payroll-type job. Now, most people don't routinely update their W-4s. Okay, what changed? Well, now, since IRS rules have changed and why the withholding rules have changed, because it's based on different data points, employers had to go through and load new withholding rates. So if they made the same default decisions or assumptions that you've always made, a lot of people are going to, you ready for this one? Get bigger paychecks. And everybody knows how many people are getting bigger paychecks since that law changed. It was implemented by law no later than February 15th last, that's in 18. So what's happening now is people are much more aligned with their own tax rates, and they're taking that money out week to week. That means when they file against what they actually owe, and less was withheld. Therefore, ipso facto, the refunds are smaller. So the people that are whining about they didn't get a tax cut because they didn't get as much back are as economically ignorant as the people who think that it's a good idea to stop 25,000 people from earning $150,000 in your state.
Yeah, it's funny. Everybody knows what they got back on their taxes.
Yeah.
Nobody knows what they actually paid in taxes.
Milton Friedman, as you know, one of the people that I worship in the economics area, Milton Friedman said to the day of his deathbed that the worst mistake he ever made was inventing withholding tax. He did it for all the right reasons. He was financing World War II. The government needed tax revenue. It needed cash flow. So he invented the system, and it was supposed to be abandoned after the war was over and paid off. It never was abandoned, and that was the beginning of people not understanding how much they paid. We have. Good morning, Paul.
I'm the guy who asked the question a few weeks ago
about
how you adjust the withholding now that the personal exemptions have been eliminated. Thank you for providing an answer. If I understand what you just said, there is still a mechanism to increase or decrease the amount that's withheld every week?
Yes. If you go into the IRS site and just have search for the W-4 form, you can read the new way you do that.
Okay, very good. It amazes me how people like to delude themselves into thinking that they're getting a big tax cut just because they got a big refund check, when the idiots don't realize they could have had that refund over the past year spread out over 52 weeks.
Incredible, isn't it?
It's truly amazing.
I'd like to take a guess at your trivia question.
Please do.
May.
Sure.
Okay, I'm going to say the United States.
Actually, no. I'm happy to report that's the wrong answer.
I'm surprised because the New York Times is always anti-United States.
And that is the very reason I brought this question up here, because even the New York Times can't fudge this one. How about that?
Okay, gentlemen, have a good week. Maybe I'll talk to you next week.
Please do. Paul, thank you very much.
Okay.
Glad you called. Isn't that the truth? Hey, you could call some of my questions misleading that way, but I'm just reporting it. I just happen to love it. All right, another thing. The doom and gloom sayers, when the government was shut down, here's a few of the famous headlines from that period of time. Media coverage from a bunch of places was very negative, of course, about the furloughing of workers. And the Time magazine said it would, quote, hurt the wider economy. Fox News said it will inflict pain on businesses across all sectors. CNN said it will potentially result in zero economic growth. The LA Times said the entire U.S. economy is faltering. And The Hill said the shutdown was putting stress on the financial sector. NPR chimed in that it was causing far greater damage to the economy than previously estimated. And economists feared it might, according to Politico, nudge the economy toward the next recession. Well, it's over now. Oh, and by the way, Van Wee Financial reported that it's going to push transactions forward into future quarters, and it's not going to really make a noticeable difference. But let's see what happened. Which one is this? The New York Times said approximately $3 billion had been permanently lost to the economy. All right, let's relate that. Order of magnitude study here. The New York Times says the loss would be at $3 billion, and I calculated that out. Now, someone making $100,000 a year, if they suffered the same percentage loss as the economy supposedly did, according to the Times, that would mean they would earn, are you ready, $15 less. It would be the equivalent of making $99,985 or $100,000. Now, there's a psychological difference in having that sixth one on there, but there isn't much physical difference. Now, let's jump to the CBO, the Congressional Budget Office. Adam, is the CBO ever right about anything?
Not usually, no.
I would have been even more blunt than that, but you're nice. The CBO put the loss at $11 billion. Okay, here's the comparison. The $100,000 worker would suffer under those circumstances a loss of a whopping $55. Do you think we can ever recover?
I really, really hope so.
Yeah, you and me.
Yeah.
All right, let's see. You want a couple reasons to be optimistic?
Sure.
Yeah, go ahead. You chime in. I get all kinds of fun stuff here.
I wanted to read you a headline, and you tell me what year it's from. This state's governor, I'm going to replace the actual state with this state. This state's governor rejects high-speed rail line, fearing cost to taxpayers.
Florida.
That's right. That was from 2011. That mm-hmm. was the when Governor Scott had just been elected and had his first real major decision, or one of them, was to decide whether or not to accept federal money to subsidize building a high-speed rail line between Tampa and Orlando. And he ultimately rejected it because there was no way that future profits from the project could cover the cost.
How long does it take you to drive that route?
Like an hour and some change on a good day and 2 hours on a bad day.
And you're bringing this up because?
Because this week, California abandoned their project that they had already dumped a bunch of money because of cost overruns to the tune of like 300% that were projected. And but they had already dumped a bunch of money into it. So it just shows the importance of fiscal management.
Well, Trump wants my money back. And so do I.
Yeah.
And you think we're going to get it?
Nope.
I'm with you on that one. Yeah, and it happened about the same day that the Green New Deal came out. All right, we got to take another quick break. We'll be right back. Don't go anywhere. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour. Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And most of you know Adam is out in Tallahassee calling in from a soccer tournament that, last time I checked your text messages, appears to be going very well for your team.
Well, I'm happy to report we just won our first game 5-4. Yay. With Lynn scoring two of the goals, so pretty happy about that.
Wonderful. We have Good Morning Larry.
Good morning, Van Wee Financial on World Tour, live, no drive.
Isn't that the truth?
I had to say it. Can I pick on the Aussies?
You can, but you'd be wrong.
I'd be wrong. I'm dying. This is New York Times. You know, you would think if it was USA, they wouldn't.
All I can tell you is you're going to love it.
Okay, I'm ready. It's a thrill of a hunt. Take care.
All right, listen a minute to the end, and you'll find out unless somebody beats you to it. We're okay. Narrowing it down. Thanks
Take
for
care.
Calling. All right, reasons for optimism. Number one, mom and pop sit out the rally with stock exposure at a six-year low. The probably worst indicator forward-looking for the stock market is when mom and pop are buying their little onesie, twosie, tensie shares of stock. They're not doing it. They're always wrong. Therefore, the market is most likely on its way up. But if you want to get really into the weeds here, Governor Lael Brainard, I say governor because she's a Federal Reserve governor, she says that downside risks are increasing. Okay. She said that the Fed is in a good place right now. It has paused its interest rate hikes. That is news that the market loves to hear. But in addition, she says, this is the take home from this one, in my opinion. She says the balance sheet reduction program that began in October 2017 probably should end later this year. Now, what that means is they spent years and years and years buying bonds, QE1, 2, 3, whatever, Operation Twist. But this, the liquidation of those bonds, and I use that term very loosely because it's very slow, is something that has people sort of concerned because of what it could do to interest rates. But she says it should end. Now, why would a Federal Reserve person think that that should end? Because she is afraid that the market won't like it if they keep going. Well, when the Federal Reserve tells you that they're in your corner right now, I tend to believe them. They may have reasoning that I don't quite understand in some cases, but this is an extremely good news article for those of you who are invested. How about that? You agree with me, Adam?
Absolutely, on both points, the Fed and the mom-and-pop investors.
Okay, the Fed hiked its benchmark interest rate 4 times in 18. It's signaling 2 more increases this year. She is not saying that it will happen. In fact, she's saying it's more likely not to happen, and it certainly isn't going to happen until toward the end of the year. So if you want to take Fed rate increases off of your short-term planning horizon, I don't think you have a problem in the world doing that. She's also trying to help out the world economy in doing it. I have absolutely nothing, no knowledge of her, where she stands on anything, but the article, as I read, I thought it was just extremely bullish for stock investors.
Yeah, that news. I mean, the fact that part of this rally is really fueled by the fact that the Fed took 3 to 4 rate hikes off the table this year.
Yep.
And, I mean, there's just no – I've never seen the Fed switch their dialogue that quickly. Usually they're pretty slow to react, and not this time. After December, mid-December, I mean, Powell just really sounded like a different person.
Yeah, we've said it how many times. The Fed has absolutely no responsibility for the gyrations in the stock market. But the Fed chairman are people, and people listen to other people, and people around them have a lot of money, and a lot of them have a lot of money in the stock market. And I would imagine throughout the month of December, he was maybe not the most popular guy at the cocktail party, you might say.
Yeah, I would imagine you're correct.
Good morning, Jim.
Hey, good morning.
What's up?
Well, I want to take a stab at your trivia.
Please do.
Okay. I think it's France.
That is one of the good guesses. It is not the correct answer.
Oh, good grief.
I know. It's getting crazy, isn't it?
Yeah. I thought, well, I was thinking maybe because they were still in the European Union and
yeah, well, see there, you're using logic. That'll never get you anywhere in a trivia question, right?
Yeah, exactly.
I appreciate the call. Thank you.
Okay, thanks.
Bye. All right, back to the narrative. You should love this one. How low will the S&P 500 go? This is from January 23rd. Buffett and Shiller know. Oh, and
what's that?
Callers to the front.
Oh, okay.
Good morning, Marshall.
Gentlemen, quick question for you.
Shoot.
We have run with 10-year indices higher than one-year indices for a few weeks now.
Okay.
What are your thoughts?
Yeah, are you talking about markets? Or are you talking about interest rates or what?
No, there's like the 10-year Treasury, 10-year LIBOR, those things that we in the mortgage industry pay very close attention to. And when you're working with mortgages that have a one-year index for somebody's note rate and it is higher than that influenced by the 10-year index, that's a unique spot. We don't get there very often.
Yeah, there's a softness in the middle of the rate curve. It's not if you go out further. It's still fine. And it is reshaping itself from what I can see, that where the longer-term inflation prospects seem to be taking over and pushing rates up a little bit. And you could see it in mortgage rates all over the country that it's softened for, about the last 6 or 8 months, something like that?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. My outlook for that is enjoy it while you can. If you're going to buy something, do it now because it's going to change.
Yep.
You agree with me?
All right. And I agree with your point. Don't let Adam take his children to stay too long over there in Tallahassee. There's a lot of bad influence. Yeah.
You don't want to come home smelling like Tallahassee.
Yeah.
You want to take a shot at the trivia, Marshall?
No, that's fine.
Okay. I appreciate the call. Thanks. Yeah, that whole interest rate thing is going to really start getting shaken up soon now, in my humble opinion. And let's face it, I'm not an expert in that part of the world, but it just seems irrational to me that mortgages are such a good deal right now. All right, well, how low will the S&P 500 go? Do Buffett and Shiller actually know? My comment to that is, no, they don't. It starts out, every trader's secret wish is to be psychic. If we could only know in advance whether the market was going to go up or down, well, that gives you a big solid duh, right?
Yeah, exactly. I wish I knew that.
Yeah, you and me. Okay, so here's the questions in the article. Are we entering a go-go decade such as 2009 to 18 when most stocks go up, up, up? Or is this the beginning of a bummer decade such as 2000 to 2009 when stock markets around the world crashed twice, ending not far from where they started? Well, in the next 10 years, let's see what people expect. people like Robert Shiller and Warren Buffett are not notorious bulls in any way, shape, or form, and they have developed their own indices. And it says, partly, that whatever goes up must eventually come down. Now, let me challenge that first. Is that how you go from 954 on the Dow in 1981 to 25,883 in 2019? Where's the part about coming down eventually? So if that statement is in any way, shape, or form true, it means we have to revert back to 954. Yeah, right. All right, Shiller's PE 10 predicts a 2.6 annualized real total return from the stock market.
No.
I'm not even going to comment on it.
No.
Buffett's MV/GDP says minus 2% for the 10 years coming up. And yet, what is Buffett not doing? He's not selling. He's a buy and hold guy. Buy a value and hold it.
He did dump some Apple recently.
Yeah, he did, but it was his people, not him. Tobin's Q ratio indicates a minus 0.5%, and Jones's composite says minus 4.1%. All I can tell you, folks, is when they're all that negative, get in and stay in, because they are wrong. The worst healthcare services in those developed countries. Yeah, I think Alan's in there pointing. It's Canada, according to the New York Times. And the reason I bring it up is that Canada is held up by almost everybody on the left side of D.C. as the system to emulate. So if you want to become the worst around, you now know exactly how to do it. Thanks for listening. We will see you next week, same time. This is the Vanley Financial Hour.